Hi, I'm Paul Puckett, host of Getting There, the money show that focuses on your life. Each Wednesday at 2 o'clock Eastern, 11 Pacific, we'll talk about money and investing with time for questions you may have about your portfolio. We will also be talking about more than money, because money is not your life, or at least it shouldn't be. So join the conversation on BBS Radio beginning March 16th at 2 p.m. Eastern, 11 Pacific, on Getting There.
Well, good afternoon and welcome to Getting There. This is Paul Puckett. Today is going to be an interesting show. Last week, I had such a good time at the Pace Center for Girls that I let it take up the entire show. I hope you found it as worthwhile as I did. Awesome organization. I went to their ducktail party and saw the best dressed duck Saturday night. And keep in mind, they have the awesome duck race to raise money for the Pace Center for Girls coming up, I believe, May 17th. I'll double check that. And you can adopt ducks online, which is pretty cool. So what I decided to do today is catch up on what I did not get to cover last week. And this will be, you know, Getting There is designed to be the money show about your life, which gives me a broad latitude in what we talk about. And the general plan is there's an interview each week and some material before. We'll talk a little bit about money. We're going to be talking more about money as the markets are doing some interesting things long term that you might be interested in. But sometimes we'll do like we are today. It'll be a total variety show. So I saw a hysterical bumper sticker. I don't know how many of you, when you're driving and you're listening to BBS Radio, obviously that's what you would listen to in your car, or a CD or iTunes, whatever it is you're playing. I don't know how many of you, like me, tend to read everybody's bumper stickers. I think my previous favorite was World Peas, W-H-I-R-R-L-E-D, P-E-A-S. It gives you a completely, totally different visualization than what World Peace would give you. Not that there's an issue with, of course, either one. But this bumper sticker had to be an English teacher or an English professor or someone who enjoys the English language in all its forms, including those that we don't normally use. So it was just a simple white bumper sticker. It had two words, black letters, which means they had good feng shui with their car. It was a white car with black interior. But at any rate, the bumper sticker was eschew obfuscation. Eschew obfuscation. Now, in the wrong state, probably a policeman will pull them because clearly they're describing something illegal on the back of their car. I'm kidding. Well, the reason I want to bring this up, not only is it a humorous bumper sticker, the full phrase, they only had those two words on the bumper sticker, but the whole phrase is eschew obfuscation, espouse elucidation. Now, if you're listening to me right now and you're thinking, I don't know if he's cussing, describing some weird food dish that he ordered last night, I have no idea what eschew obfuscation means. Don't feel bad. Don't feel bad. I wasn't 100% confident myself, but I was pretty sure. This has been around for a long time, this phrase. And in 1959, it was actually a heading in a NASA document, which ties in with what I want to talk about here. Mark Twain, one of my favorite writers, in his Fenimore Cooper's Literary Offenses, listed 14 rules of good writing, or listed more than 14. The 14th rule, he phrased as eschew surplusage. Surplusage? Something like that. So what is it? Well, eschew obfuscation basically means avoid being unclear. Espouse elucidation means support being clear. So you want to avoid being unclear and support being clear. Well, you know, here's the thing. In the old days, doctors got in trouble with patients because you'd go to see the doctor and the doctor would, you know, evaluate your condition and then in medical terms, let you know the issue. Now, I don't know about you, but medicine, although I find it fascinating, is not my gig. So it's better for me if the doctor speaks in a language that I can understand. So drop the Latin. Don't tell me anything too complicated. And you know, tell me what the issue is. Well, why is that a problem? Well, of all the industries, doctors now are pretty good at that, by the way. Of all the industries that intentionally embrace obfuscation and eschew elucidation, meaning we are intentionally unclear and avoid clarity as much as possible, is the industry that I spend a lot of my time in, and that's the world of investing, and insurance is just as bad. So why do we do that in my industry? Well, I was at a seminar, oh, I don't know, 20 years ago, not with the firm I worked for. I'd like to make that clear. And it was one of those things where you go for a weekend, you get continuing education credits. You know, it's in a nice location. And the speakers, for the most part, are pretty good. And this speaker actually was an excellent speaker. I completely disagreed with him, but he was an excellent speaker. And he talked about the importance, in his opinion, and the this particular style of talking being a critical indicator of how quickly people would hire you and how much money you would make by embracing obfuscation. So here was his point. If I talk to a prospective client about an investment or an insurance policy to deal with estate planning or whatever, and I use a lot of jargon, okay, so instead of just saying, hey, this is a index fund that attempts to mirror the S&P 500, the one you see on TV every night. Okay, well, that's a little bit, you know, jargony, but it's not that bad. I mean, you pretty much have to say it's an index fund. You can't get away from that. But I mean, I could also say, you know, regarding the same investment, that one of the reasons why we like to use the iShares S&P 500 fund is because the standard deviation of that fund, its Jensen ratio, its Trainer ratio, and its alpha are designed to correlate with the return of the S&P 500 indices. What did I just say? So my point is, when you hear someone in my industry, now, if they're in their first year, just give them a break and say, hey, excuse me, I'm going to do you a favor. Don't use jargon, please. Just tell me what we're looking at. Because the first year is sort of hard not to. You go get trained. You get your licenses. The licenses heavily focus on the technical side of products and the regulations themselves. And so, you know, you're so proud of yourself that you got all that down. You tend to speak in what I would call a non-understandable way. Well, if you've been in the industry for a while and you're doing that, it may be because you heard this guy say, if you let people know how smart you are, they will recognize, and I don't believe this personally, I'm just saying it, but they will recognize how stupid they are and how desperate they should be to hire you. And unfortunately, this is actually true. It happens, which is not necessarily good. So my point is, ask, if you're talking with someone and in the profession about your finances and you have no clue what it is they're saying to you, you're getting a headache, tell them to stop talking. Take a step back and say, look, can you explain this to me like I don't even know what a stock is? And maybe you don't. I mean, when I got into the industry, I thought stock was what grocery stores have on their shelves, or a hunting friend would have said, it's the part of the gun that you put against your shoulder, it's the stock. It never occurred to me that it was a investment. That occurred to me when I got into the industry. And I'm all of this, this word has another meaning. So my request to those in my industry is to eschew obfuscation and espouse elucidation. And to those of you who are clients and prospective clients in my industry, remind them that obfuscation does not build your trust. And trust is one of the most important parts of hiring an advisor or working with a firm or buying an investment that a firm manages. Let's do another piece of news, and then we're going to go to our first song. We're going to have four songs today. And, I have said a number of times I want to use new artists on the show, and I will. But at the same time, some of the songs you and I both know quite well, looked at from a different perspective, can be very related to the topics we cover here on the show. Before we go to those, I don't know how many of you are baby boomers, but since we're the largest generation, I think, currently around, this is from Financial Advisor magazine, so this is a professional magazine. Headline, Boomer Confidence in Retirement at a 5-year low. Now, here's what's interesting about that. Now, they attribute this in the article to interest rates being absurdly low, to the boomers having to go through two significant bear markets in the early part of the last decade, 2000 to 2003, well, really late 99 through 2003, and then again, 07 to 09. But here's what's funny. The market has more than doubled over the past 7 years. And here we are with confidence in retirement at a 5-year low. So just a reminder, one of the purposes of this show is to get you to focus on your life and not worry so much about what the market itself is doing. We're gonna start with a song that I think you'll have a little fun with. It's relating to a question that we're going to cover later in the show. I asked a lot of people, and I'd like to go ahead and kick off that song, and I'll join you again as soon as that song ends.
You know I have the blues, baby, but it's love. I got 4 minutes, that's a dollar. I got some money, huh?
You gotta be kidding, baby. I tell you what. Why don't you forget all that money and just give me your note?
Oh, bring it on.
Not one artist, three, maybe that you've heard of, maybe not. If you haven't, I highly encourage you to go out and look on the web for their music. I'll be putting, sometime in the next week, I'll be putting up a list on the bbsradio.com website for my show, Getting There, every song I've played on the air, so that if you hear something you like, you can go find it. You can find the artist website, and you can also, you know, go to iTunes or Google Play or whatever it is you prefer, and get the music. You know, that's what keeps them singing, and that's what we like and playing. So that was three artists. That was the voice you heard first was Debbie Davies. Phenomenal. All three of these are phenomenal blues, borderline rock artists. Debbie Davies with the lead vocal on that, the beginning. Kenny Neal, also on vocals and guitar. I believe all three of them sang on this piece, Money. Makes the World Go Round. Well, you know, the point of this show is money doesn't make the world go round, but boy, doesn't it feel like it sometimes. And then the third, I used to have arguments with friends of mine on this last member, Kenny Neal, Debbie Davies. They got together with my favorite guitarist, although there are a few in competition. Maybe I shouldn't say that anymore. But one of my favorite living guitarists, Tab Benoit. So that was Kenny Neal, Debbie Davies, and Tab Benoit with Money. So, you know, money, what does that mean to you? Some of you have already been asked that question. And I went around on the internet, and I went around physically here locally on Old Main Street in Bradenton with my handy dandy Zoom HN1 stereo recorder to find out what people feel and think when they hear the word money. Now, hopefully, if everything works for me from a system standpoint, I'm going to play four different, very brief, I guess you could call it an interview, but I just asked people what their reaction was and how they felt when they heard the word money. So before I play that, and my producer, Doug, just in case you're wondering, Doug, I have that here on my system. So when I hit play, you don't actually have to do anything except let me know if they can hear it. And by the way, what makes my life easy for those of you who are listening and those of you who are friends of mine and are like, how did he suddenly figure out how to do all this? Well, except for the first show where I attempted to run a soundboard, which I used to do a long time ago, except for the first show, I actually have producers that do this all the time for a living at bbsradio.com, and I really appreciate what they do. So before I play it again, here's the question. What is your first thought and or feeling when you hear the word money? Interesting thing is I didn't get the answer I thought I would get. I did not get the answer I thought I would get. The first person I asked said, it's great. Money is great. Brief, but, you know, good answer. And money is, it's a tool. The point I'm trying to make with this whole message is money is simply a tool. It's not something we should focus on. But you know, it's interesting. The second person said to me that money is necessary. Now, I think that's a healthy way to look at it, like food is. You don't necessarily focus on it. unless you're Master Chef Craig Chasky that we worked with a few weeks ago. It's his career. Of course, he's going to focus a little bit on food. In the industry I'm in, we occasionally pay a lot of attention. Obviously, it's what you pay us for, to money. But should you have to do that? And the answer is no. Now, I'm going to go ahead and say what her husband said, because it got a good laugh from everybody in the general area. I said, when you hear the word money, what do you think or feel? And he took a deep breath and said, Donald Trump. And I said, oh boy, politics. Let's move on down the street, because I prefer to avoid that if I can. There was a couple sitting across the street, and you know, it was interesting. They were not wealthy. I don't know any of the people that I was talking to on the street. So I don't know what their net worth, what their assets are, whether they have investments. None of them appeared to be living on the street, and none of them appeared to be driving, you know, the most recent Bugatti or something. But they had a very healthy attitude. They were visiting the area. They come down to avoid winter each year. And they said that, you know, the thing with money is you just need to have enough, and they were very specific, for what you want to do. So, you know, they said, we're not wealthy, and we're not staying in the greatest resort, but we're able, before we're fully retired, to take a month off in the winter, avoid the cold, and be here in Southwest Florida. And, you know, they said, we don't really focus on it that much. It was a very healthy answer. I got to tell you, you go out and you do something like this and you learn from other people, or you get, what's the word I'm looking for? Confirmation of what you hope people think out there. And so it was interesting. It was interesting that no one said what I thought they would say about what do you think or feel when you hear the word money. I was expecting quite a few people, because the people I talked to ranged in age. Many of them are not retired. As a matter of fact, I'd say almost all of them are not retired, just a few. And I was expecting to hear the word work. I thought I would hear, well, when I hear money, I got to go to work, which you do. And, you know, when you go to work, you can get the working man's blues. And so an artist you may not have listened to recently, by the name of Merle Haggard, a nice little short song about the working man blues.
It's a big job just getting by with 9 kids and a wife. But I've been working, man, dang near all my life, and I'll keep on working. Long as my two hands are fit to use. I'll drink my beer in a tavern, sing a little bit of these working man blues. I'll keep my nose on the grindstone, work hard every day. I might get a little tired on the weekend. After I draw my pay, I'll go back working. Come Monday morning, I'm right back with the crew. I drank a little beer that evening, sang a little bit of these working man blues. Sometimes I think about leaving, do a little bumming around. I want to throw my bills out the window, catch a train to another town. I'll go back working. Gotta buy my kids a brand new pair of shoes. I drank a little beer in a tavern, cry a little bit of these working man blues. Here comes that working man. Working
working man, working man like me. I ain't never been on welfare, and that's one place I won't be. I'll be working as long as my two hands are fit to use. I'll drink my beer in a tavern, sing a little bit of these working man blues. This song for the working man.
An old one, but a good one. Merle Haggard, Working Man Blues. I happen to love blues music. You know, when my kids were younger, they'd say, Dad, you know, I know you want me to listen to this, but why would I want to listen to something sad? Well, you know, blues are not sad. Well, they may be based on something sad, but the purpose of blues music is to bring you out of the blues. I'm sorry. It's my favorite kind of music. I hope for those of you who haven't heard a lot of blues, you hear, of course, Merle Haggard, more known for country. But that was the Working Man Blues. Now, let's look at a few more answers. And in a few minutes, we may be able to play those clips. And if not, it's okay. I'm learning when I do street interviews. As a matter of fact, the two answers I really wanted to play happened when I thought I was turning my microphone on, my recorder on, and I was actually turning it off. So, you know, live and learn. But let me give you some answers I got in a forum where I asked the question, what is your first thought and or feeling when you hear the word money? I loved the first one because it took me about a millisecond, but it was a creative answer. Their first thought or feeling was Billy Joe and Bobby Sue. Billy Joe and Bobby Sue. And, you know, I'm sure you know what song that is. And I was going to play it. And then I thought, you know what? You already know that song. So I'd suggest after the show, take the money and run. Steve Miller Band, if I recall. The second answer I got, and I think this is a very good one, too. I thought all the answers were good, to tell you the truth. I did not get the answers I thought I might get, which was good. Hopefully all of you have a well-adjusted and good relationship with the concept of money and the concept of actually having some, or that you're okay with having too much. What am I trying to say here? This answer. Money is essential. It's not, it's not something to focus on, but essential. You need it to pay things. This was good. Money can buy you happiness if you spend it the right way. It's all about how you use what you have. You may remember the happiness hangout guest, Laurie Peters, a few weeks ago, who said research shows there's really two ways that money can buy you happiness. Just neither one of them are buying it directly. One is you buy experiences, not things. So you travel and you do things with money. The other is you help other people in your family that you don't even know. Get involved with a local organization like the Pace Center for Girls that we talked about last week. And I saw on MarketWatch this morning a piece by Quentin Fittrell that I found this amazing, and it also brings up an organization I wanted to bring to your attention. The article, if you want to pull it up, the title on MarketWatch is Meet the Most Generous Tipper in America. MarketWatch had done, in one of their blogs called Moneyologist, an article about tipping and how people often don't tip enough. They don't realize how low the pay is of waiters and bartenders. Well, they got an email from this guy. He's retired. And he tips workers 50%. And he basically reduced the amount he was giving to charity. He says he would prefer to help working people and show how much he appreciates what they do. So, you know, he said, I convinced many of my friends to reduce donating to charities because of the overhead structures. And I'd rather put the money in the hands of people at the low end of the scale that are working their way up the ladder. But it also brings up an organization that I think is important. So now would be the time to grab a pen. Charity Navigator, you can Google them on or Bing, whatever you'd like to use on a search engine. Charity Navigator is an independent charity evaluator, and it rates charities based on the amount of their budget that is actually spent on programs versus administration. Because there are some big charities out there, I won't name them right now, where they spend 75, 80, 90% of the money on the cause that you're contributing for. But there are also plenty who spend maybe 5 to 15% on what you contribute for, and the rest goes to salaries and staffing needs. So at any rate, this fella has a pretty good handle on what makes him smile. It's surprising a waiter, a bartender, or even a parking lot attendant with a tip, thanking them and appreciating and showing some gratitude for what they do. Let's have a little fun and go to a break. And Doug, after the break, if you would, like to say hi to my friends at B-Town Coffee. And then, you know, I'll tell you about this song when after it's played, but did you ever think of how wealthy you would be if good times were dollars? And there's a great band you probably had not heard of, and I'll tell you all about them after the break.
So rough when there's nothing to swallow, if your hair is full of memories. I got no credit, but I'm sweaty. It don't bother me, I don't really care. Cause if good times were dollars, I would be a millionaire. A little smile breaks across my face. I sit a while, close my eyes. It's not my style to worry about something when something means something that's nothing at all. I am no dough, but you know, it don't bother me, I don't really care. Cause if good times were dollars, I would be a millionaire. Green grass grow. I'm in the bath, lying on my back. I do the math on my fingers and toes. I start to laugh.
Swing!
Cause I got nothing to my name, but I got friends around the world.
I got that actually from a live concert on YouTube, but if you Google Gaelic Storm, G-A-E-L-I-C, Gaelic as in Ireland in the British Isles, Gaelic Storm, if good times were dollars, I'd be a millionaire. You know, I'd like to say all of us could have both good times and money too. But given the choice, would you trade a little bit about that money for some good times? I would. Let's look at some more answers. And this one was interesting. Get an education, work hard, and you too can have money. There's no bad jobs, just different levels of using your brain. Just the word money triggered that answer. This next one made me think of a Billy Joel song, which I'll be playing a Billy Joel song later, but not this one. Pressure. They heard the word money, and they said pressure. Local guy, I know who this is, got a great band that maybe we'll have on the show at some point, heard the word money and said, well, you can't buy me love. The next person told me necessary to live, but after death, it's worthless. And the next one said necessary. Let's go back and try those street clips. Go with clip number two, Doug, if you would. Hey, we're doing street interviews on Old Main Street, and I'm with John, who's originally from Minnesota. I'm going to ask John the question I asked some of you guys on the internet. John, when I say the word that I'm about to say, what is your first reaction, what you think or what you feel about this word? Ready? Money.
Great.
Great? Great works. You know, that was a response from a fellow who was talking occasionally about, you know, the challenges of finding work. Heard the word money, and he said, great. He could have focused on the negative. He focused on the positive. The couple I told you about with a hair of politics at the end is clip number three. Doug, if you could play that one now.
All right.
And I live in Bradenton.
We're with Jan in Bradenton. Jan, what do you think or feel? It can be one word, it can be a sentence, whatever you think, when I say the word money.
Greed.
There's another fella. He's shaking his head. You are?
Phil in Bradenton.
Phil, when I say the word money, what do you first think or feel?
Donald Trump.
And now we move to politics. I'll be moving on down the street. Thank you. You know, I should have known that in election year, if I ask anything on the street, at some point, something is going to come up that is political. It's just that kind of a year. Two more that I think you might find interesting. This is, Doug, this is clip number five. Continuing the fun on Old Bradenton, Old Main in Bradenton, I'm now with
Lee.
And Lee, you live here in Bradenton?
Yes, I do.
I want you to, if you don't mind, just tell me your initial reaction, what you think or what you feel. It doesn't have to be one word. It can be multiple sentences, however far you want to run with it, or just one word. I'm going to say a word, and I want to know how you react to that word. Money.
I could use more.
That answer is winning. Thanks. I really appreciate it.
That's it.
And that answer did take the lead. I think she was expecting a full interview. She's like, that's it? Oh, thank God. But, you know, if I'd like a little more. It sounds like me at a coffee shop. How was the espresso? I'd like a little more. You know, the key that I'm just – the reason I'm bringing this whole thing up is the relationship we have with our money can either get in our way, or it can motivate us to get what we need, whatever that is, and be happy, not staring at it and not. I think you're getting the message here. This next lady, she really thought this through, and I loved her answer. Doug, this is clip number six. Still on Main Street. Now I'm with
Carol.
Carol in Bradenton. Carol, I'm going to say one word, and I'm looking for your initial thought or feeling that that word gives you. You ready? Money.
Money. Being able to buy things we want, contribute to our personal, religious, whatever you want to contribute to. Taking care of your family is a big one. Definitely. And Just money can't buy happiness, but it can help a hell of a lot. Bye-bye.
Carol, I really appreciate it. Thank you very much.
You know, the danger of hearing yourself laugh on something you taped is I was trying to remember, you know, who the girl was laughing, and I realized that would be me. But what a great answer. I mean, she started with, you know, you can buy what you want. Well, that's important. I mean, there's things that you need, you've got to have, and then, you know, be able to buy some. But she immediately moved to contribute to, you know, the people and causes that you believe in, taking care of family. And probably the best quote I got was, you know, it can't buy happiness, but boy, it helps out, which I think is a very healthy way to look at it. You know, I got to tell you, it's a lot of fun getting out and asking these questions on Getting There, because it helps me understand what the issues are we all face when it comes to how we handle our money and what we do with our money. We're going to talk next week with Jerry Catalano, the money CPA. He also plays guitar and sings in a band. As a matter of fact, a lot of his clients are bands. And I'm looking forward to having him on the show. We're also going to start introducing some conversation regarding, well, okay, fine, it's a money show, Paul. Are you going to ever talk about how I should handle it? Yes, we'll do about 10, 15 minutes next week. Let me give you the last few answers that I got. This one had a little clarification. First thing they thought about or felt when it came to the word money was necessary. When you have too much or too little, it can corrupt you. The next one is another creative answer that you may recognize. It said, R. Waters said, money, it's a crime. Share it fairly, but don't take a slice of my pie. That one took about a millisecond. That would be Pink Floyd's Money, 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 which I'm still resisting playing on the show, even though it's a great song. It's a long song. My answer, if you were to ask me, Paul, what do you think or feel when you hear the word money, matches one of the answers that came in. Freedom. Freedom. Someone else said it's a tool. Someone else just said it's Pink Floyd. There's also a suggestion of, Paul, I just like to have a money tree that grows it. You know, it I wouldn't get greedy, but boy, I'd love to have a money tree. And then the answer that is one of the reasons why I want to bring this topic up and talk to people about their relationship money is this answer. What is the first thought and feeling you have when you hear the word money? And the answer was evil. Money is evil. Well, why? And it's because they recognize now, they would have made different decisions in their life if it hadn't been for money. Now, I don't know them. So, I mean, you know, well enough here to say what they're referring to. So I don't know if it was an issue of, I chose a job that I knew I wasn't going to be happy in because the pay was higher. But whatever event that was, when it all came down to it, it left them feeling like money is evil because it made them make decisions they wouldn't otherwise make. So that's I think, all we're going to do today on our reaction to money. But, you know, if you're listening and weren't one of the people that answered, I'd encourage you to take a moment next time you're driving or you've got something where you can drift but still pay attention to what you're doing and not get too heavily involved. I'm not recommending deep hypnosis here, particularly if you're driving. So maybe you shouldn't do it while you're driving. Think about how you feel when you hear the word money. And if it's something other than fine, necessary, I know what I need it for and I'm happy with what I have, or I know what I need to do to get to where I need to get. You know, if it triggers something in you that's negative, it will affect your life. And again, my main message is your life and your time are more valuable than your money. So let's keep money in its place. It's just a tool. We're going to go to a brief break and talk about my friends at B-Town, come back and wrap things up. Hi, this is Paul Puckett. As you may know, I love coffee. My friends would tell you I don't love coffee. It's an obsession, and not just any coffee, espresso. If you're in the Bradenton area,
One of the jewels of Bradenton is Old Main Street, and you'll find a coffee shop, B-Town Coffee, with a great alley and awnings and fans to keep you cool in the summer and in the shade, free Wi-Fi, and quite frankly, the best hot dog in town. Stop by. You'll enjoy B-Town Coffee. Well, looks to me, assuming my clock is working right, like we've got about six more minutes to the show. And if I can find the length of this next song, that will tell me what we need to cover. There it is. Good. I've got just a few minutes to wrap up. There's some exciting things going on for me that I'll be announcing soon that involve an opportunity to write and do some blogging for an awesome website. So be looking for me to make that announcement next week. Again, our guest next week is Jerry Catalano, the Money CPA. Information on Jerry will be available on the bbsradio.com website by tomorrow. I'm looking forward to chatting with him. This next song, okay, it's not really a money song. It's not. But on the other hand, it is about life. And it's from an artist I know you've heard. It's from an artist that has done many different musical styles and stayed incredibly popular over most of my musical lifetime. So we're going to close out today's show. If I'm timing this right, it'll end exactly at the correct time as I fill a space of time with a song about, you know, sometimes we dream, and when we dream, we go places. Enjoy.
In the middle of, I go walking in the middle of, I go walking in the middle of.
So I guess the suggestion I would have is maybe in the middle of the night, we should all go walking in our sleep. Again, all the music that's been played on every episode, I'm going to start listing on the bbsradio.com website and on my own website, gettingthere.life. So be looking for that in the next few days so you can get some of this great music. I hope you enjoy it as much as I do. Have a great day, and I look forward to talking to Jerry Catalona, the music CPA, next Wednesday, 2 o'clock Eastern, 11 Pacific. Thank you for joining me on Getting There.